You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
This is Brandy from Michigan, and you are listening to iRebel, a Star Wars Destiny podcast.
Forgery of imperial documents, possession of stolen property, aggravated assault, resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15, reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
I rebel.
Welcome everyone to I Rebel. I am your host, Jedi Geek Girl. Legacies is here. I have it in my hands, and I am excited to dive into building decks. We talked last week about trilogy decks. This week, we're going to pull it back and talk about getting legacies and what we expect to build. We are also going to dive into long form on a special character. Before we begin, I would like to plug the iRebel website. We are looking for writers to write articles for us. If you are interested in writing, please contact me at irebeldestiny@gmail.com. Also, if you would like to support us, we now offer a budget option in our Patreon program. For $5, you get everything that you got before, but you also get a one-of-a-kind 8-bit fan-made card from a previous month. This is a great way to contribute and support us and get one of our amazing one-of-a-kind rewards. We appreciate everyone who donates to us and helps support us. It is your dollar that helps us grow. Thank you to our newest Patreon contributor, Jim. Joining me is a very special guest. You may have heard her on the Countdown to Worlds podcast with Sugi. She took Sabine Kanan to Michigan Regionals and barely missed cut. I heard her on this podcast and I knew that I had to talk to her. Please welcome Brandy.
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm a little tired, but I'm here. I'm podcasting during the game because I'm not a sports fan, but hey, you know?
Hey, I'm with you. I can't even remember the last time I watched a sports match.
Before we dive into Destiny, can you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Sure. My name is Brandy Bollinger, and I'm from Grand Blanc, Michigan. It's kind of sort of in the Flint area, so mid-Michigan. I have been playing Star Wars Destiny since the initial release of the Spirit of Rebellion set. My husband and I play frequently together. One unique thing about the two of us, I guess, is that I play only heroes and he plays only villains. So it's really cool. We always are working on building decks together and doing unique matchups. I really like building decks that are kind of not necessarily against the meta, but kind of taking what's popular in our local play group at Card Table Republic in Davison and turning into something new, turning into something that's my own.
The last time we heard from you, you were playing Sabine Kanan. Did you stick with that deck or did you change to another deck?
After the Michigan Regional, I played my Sabine Kanan deck for a few weeks. We have a local group that plays every Tuesday and we kind of do casual play and we also do like local tournaments. So I played Kanan and Sabine for a little while, but right after that, I put together a kind of weird deck, I guess, with Kanan, a Rebel Trooper, and a Wookiee Warrior, which I thought was going to be this totally weird deck that really didn't do much. But it actually, after a little bit of honing, turned out to be pretty cool. I was throwing in some of the Electro Staffs with the Wookiee Warrior to reduce his cost to use his weapons. And the Rebel Trooper was nice because I could Guardian away and keep either Kanan or the Wookiee Warrior alive. And, you know, now that Legacies has come out, I'm really excited to see what I can do with some of the new hero characters to maybe switch around this deck a little bit, since I spent some time kind of honing it in and substituting some of the new upgrades and the new characters into it.
Besides that, what else have you been doing this past couple of months in the R2P2 quote-unquote meta?
R2P2 has not actually been as popular in our playgroup as I've seen it in a lot of the other regionals. You know, watching some of the results come in from the regionals and how many people are playing R2P2, it was not really something that I ever played with too much. We do have the two-player starter set, and we did play it straight out of the box as it was. And I thought that it was a very consistent deck, but it just wasn't really my style of deck, if you will. One of the people, Eric, in our local playgroup, he played R2P2 and is still playing R2P2, his modified version of it. And he's still having some really great success with it. I think there were 2 or 3 tournaments that he took first place in our playgroup with R2P2.
Legacies is now here. How much did you get? And did you get what you wanted from the set?
So between my husband and I, we got two boxes and then two copies of each starter set. The cool thing kind of about our playgroup is each week when you play in the tournaments, there's prize packs. So we decided this time to do something a little bit different and each get a box just so we could kind of start with a base set and then get the rest of our cards either through trading, which our local playgroup does a lot of, prize support during the events at our local play store, and then just kind of seeing what we get. I actually got really sick after the boxes came out and I just opened my box today. My husband's box is still sealed up on the table because he's at our robotics meeting right now, building robots with high school students. I opened up the first box today and I have to say that as far as the cards with dice go, I was very impressed with what I got. It looked like in front of me that we ended up with about 8 neutral cards, 12 hero cards and 12 villain cards. So it was a really equal spread of things. There's been a lot of times where we've opened up packs and opened up boxes in the last couple of sets and received really heavy boxes one way or the other way. Additionally, I thought that this set seems to be a lot more evenly distributed. There was one box that we opened up one time and ended up with 3 Padmes in one box. And this box, the only double that I opened up is I opened up 2 Bibs, which I'm not going to play with anyway. So I'm really excited. I did open up an Obi-Wan. I do tend to enjoy blue hero decks a lot. I did only open up one. But I'm sitting here looking at what we have, and I think that's one character that I'm definitely looking forward to building a deck around from this set.
Why don't we dive into that a little bit further? Is Obi-Wan the only character that you're looking forward to building around, or are there other characters / character combinations that you would like to try, especially with your, spoiler alert, favorite character?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Kanan here, one of my favorite characters to play, and I think it's a little bit sad I won't be able to play 2-die Kanan, 2-die Obi. It's 2 points off. But I'm excited to build this. I have this intense fear of mono decks. That's part of the reason why I didn't play Sabine Ezra, that I chose to play a different character when I played Sabine. I think that with the new characters, a lot of them are lower cost. And I think that that's really great for building decks, especially when you're trying to teach new people. One thing that my husband Clinton and I really do try to do is teach a lot of people. As I previously mentioned, we coach a high school robotics team, and we participated in an Extra Life event this year where we were raising funds for Hurley Children's Hospital, our local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. And we actually hosted a 10-deck tournament using our collection, and we built up 10 thematic decks. They were definitely not the best decks because it was definitely a stretch for us to take our system that we have and build 10 decks out of it. But we had a lot of fun doing that. So that's one thing that he and I do like to do. I think that since we've done that, I think I look at how you build decks a little bit differently, trying to optimize what you have. Ever since playing Sabine and Kanan, I'm not a big fan of mono decks. So looking at Obi-Wan, the first thing I thought of, what are other characters that I can pair with him to stay away from those mono? Because Kylo 2 is still a pretty popular character in our local meta right now. And walking in with a mono deck is definitely not something that I'm comfortable doing. I did open up a Rose, which I think for 8 cost for 1 die and 11 cost for 2 dice. Even though she only has 2 direct damage, I think that she's definitely going to be a great character. 9 health for 8 points is really great. I'm also looking at Ayla. I mean, I opened up one of her. She's 9-12 for 10 health. She's essentially 1 point cheaper per die than Kanan, but the same amount of health and some great damage on her sides too. So then I was like, oh, I build decks with all of these different low-cost characters and build up a lot of health and still be able to have 3 or 4 dice.
With the Sabine Kanan deck, that is a blue-yellow deck, and with you looking at Obi-Wan, that is a blue card, and one of the decks that is being talked about right now is the Obi-Wan Maz deck. Is that a deck that you have looked at?
I've heard a little bit about the Obi-Wan Maz deck, and it is definitely something that's very intriguing to me. It's definitely my style of deck. I've heard that it is crazy consistent because of Maz's ability to resolve the 2 dice, and then Obi-Wan's dice sides are crazy. 3 and 3 for a resource, 2 shields and a resource, that's like amazing. And his ability to give him a shield every time you activate, that's just bananas. I do think that it is probably something that I will eventually build. Whether or not I take it to our local play group, I'm not sure, but it's definitely something my husband is very much looking forward to putting together a Tarkin deck. So I think that an Obi-Wan Maz deck may actually be able to hold its own against something like that, something very consistent, very scary as that, because of the abilities of the characters and the sides on the dice.
Today I drafted and I actually got to play against Obi-Wan. And obviously this is in a limited format, but one of the things that I noticed about Obi-Wan is he's one of those cards, at least for me, that you don't really understand the potential and the potency of them until you're sitting across from them. And now I am a little bit curious. I am committed right now to the Qui-Gon Yoda deck because I love Yoda and I love the synchronicity and I love Mono Hero Blue, though I might change that once Rivals become legal because Kylo Anakin is going to be huge. But right now I want to try that deck because I'm already committed to it at this point in time.
I think that we will see a lot of Yoda being played. And I think that as the new sets come out, I do think we're probably going to see a lot more Mills. There were quite a few Mills decks when I went to the regionals that I faced against with my Sabine Kanan deck. And I do think that Mill is definitely a viable strategy with a lot of the new cards that are coming out. Definitely think we're going to be seeing that more. And I definitely think that we're going to see a lot of people playing Yoda. I did not open a Yoda in the first box that I got. I did get a Zeb. Pretty excited about that. I do really like yellow characters. Since the very beginning, the first deck that I ever built was Han and Leia, of course. And I played that deck forever. I made so many modifications. And as the new cards came out, I just put in new weapons and new upgrades. So that was a deck that I played for a long time. As the sets have come out, I think blue has definitely gotten a lot stronger than it was at the beginning. I do think that looking at Obi-Wan, I do agree with you that I think Obi-Wan is definitely one of those characters that you look at it and you're like, yeah, those are pretty good dice, I guess. One side is free damage, and then the other side that you get damage is only one resource. I really hope that it doesn't turn into what I saw locally, at least, was when Mace came out, everybody was so excited to play Mace because his damage sides, and then they just kind of found him unplayable. But then again, he was pretty expensive. Where Obi-Wan at 19, he's one of the most expensive characters in the new set. And I think it's definitely going to be difficult to build four die deck around his 19 points if you'd like two dice with him. And I think that four die decks are what's remaining consistent and what's very difficult to get around these days.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is what Luke Skywalker should have been in Awakening. He probably should have been 18 instead of 19, but you can definitely see the evolution of the design team that they're starting to get these points down.
I agree. I think as the sets go on, as the initial sets become irrelevant, I think that they're being phased out because the characters are so expensive. Their character cost, as the new ones are coming out, it's just unreasonable to put some of these characters in these decks because you can get just as good or better sides of another die for cheaper.
Let me ask you a question regarding the Obi-Wan Maz deck, kind of the same thing. Did you ever play Poe Maz?
I have never played Poe Maz, actually. As I said, like, I kind of avoided the meta, if you will, and there were quite a few people in our local playgroup who played it, and I've actually only played against Poe Maz maybe three times ever in my playing, and I've played a lot of matches. It was just one of those decks that I was just never really that interested in playing. I like the decks where it really takes some synchronicity of playing and the timing of playing cards and those kind of things, where which card you play that's in your hand is going to make the difference of how the round goes and not necessarily just chucking Millennium Falcons at people. Some people enjoy that. That's just kind of not my gig.
How about any other Maz deck?
I did play a Maz deck for a while. I cannot remember who I had in it with her now. I played it for a very short while right before the Spirit of Rebellion came out. I think Maz is a really great support character. Her health is the issue. There's a lot of hard-hitting decks that are out right now that base damage with just two characters, they could kill Maz in one fell swoop. That concerns me a little bit, but I do think that you'll see her. I think that she's definitely going to make a comeback. I think for a while, she kind of went away when Poe Maz kind of fell out of the meta. And now I do think that we're going to see a resurgence of her because she just adds so much consistency.
She is one of my favorite characters in Destiny. I really like what she brings to the table. Even if you activate her and whiff on the focus, you can still resolve two of your dice. I really like that. And as a huge fan of hers, it is really tempting to play the Obi-Wan Maz deck. But like I said, I'm committed to Qui-Gon for the time being.
But hey, maybe when you've had your run with Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan and Maz will be waiting for you.
Like I said, I'm planning to switch decks because once the rivals come out, Kylo's going to be a beast.
I agree.
Talking about Zeb, have you looked at possibly building a Yoda Zeb deck? That Yoda stability and ramp with Zeb's hard hitting. Have you given that deck a look?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie. I think I might shy away from Yoda just a little bit just because of how many focus he does have. I generally speaking like to play decks where you roll the dice, you roll your upgrades, and then you use the cards that are in your hand to manipulate your dice. I think that's just kind of like a unique play style that I like to do. I did play Qui-Gon for a while, and just with how much damage you can get out of your hand is really great for me. There was a point in time where I played one with the Force and those cards where they're really focus heavy, and I just really didn't enjoy it that much. I think that there are a lot of people that do that, having that focus layout on the table and your opponent not knowing what you're going to do with it or what you have in your hand to play with it, I do think is definitely an intimidation factor. But it's not really my style of play, so I'm not sure even if we do open Yoda that I'm not sure how many decks I will build with him. I think I'm kind of more of like a pummel people kind of deck. I like really heavily aggressive either range or melee decks. I think that's why I did enjoy playing Sabine so much, is just because she was like 50 guns and it was just fun.
The good thing about Yoda, if you're not playing him, is if you play heavy aggro, he's going to probably go down pretty quickly. So you have that going for you for not playing him.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sitting here looking at Zeb's sides and the fact that he has three damage sides, and that's a 50% chance to roll damage. Granted, that's a 50% to not roll damage. But I think it's also so cool that his ability that you can resolve it as if it were range instead of his melee. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited. I like mixed damage decks a lot too. I think that it kind of adds a whole level of complexity to the deck, and it allows you to incorporate a lot more weapons and use the special abilities of the weapons more effectively when you do a range and melee deck too.
It sounds like when it comes to your gaming experience, you prefer a layered experience more than a straight to the point competitive quote unquote best deck in format. You rather have a deck that you find interesting, intriguing, and there's much more to it than just a straight strategy. Here's the deck. Here's how I'm going to win. There's not much to it.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I tend to think of myself as a fairly strategic person, and when I sit down across from someone, I try to think to myself, what are they going to try to do with their deck? And I try to build decks that have a lot of answers to that. I know a lot of people who just go with what works and what's the most optimized. And I usually try to kind of spread what I do in my decks. And sometimes it works out really well. Sometimes it's an absolute trash deck that I like go 0-4 with, which has happened more than once. But I do like having that ability to kind of build something that might be kind of crazy off the wall, but works.
Experimentation is a quality that is needed in quote-unquote good players, I find. If you aren't willing to experiment, then you will never come across things that haven't been discovered and will not learn lessons that you wouldn't learn otherwise.
I agree. And I think the fact that I have my husband here to play against, and the fact that he plays villains all the time and I play heroes, we do run into those cases where you find the nemesis for your deck. And sometimes there's just those characters that you would not think that are as strong as they are, or weapons that have the ability to bring down those strong decks. But it's phenomenal to just see what some of these cards do. And I appreciate the fact that when Fantasy Flight is coming up with all of these things, that they do so much to interlace so many things, and that they make so many cards that work together so harmoniously, and then so many cards that just clash when you put them out. And I think that's something that's really exciting to see every time a new set comes out. because it's not always just take the cards from the new set. It's take some of the cards from the old set and put them together. Like, I'm super excited to see what Zeb does with an Electro Staff. Because of the Electro Staff reducing the cost by one, you put that with Zeb. So no matter what he rolls and no matter what it rolls, you have the potential. If you're running two die Zeb with an Electro Staff, you're looking at 9 damage for free with one roll. If you have 2 Electro Staffs out, you're looking at 12 damage for free. That's just craziness to me. Like, I'm excited for that.
I have to ask, with you and your husband playing so much and you guys both being self-assigned aside, is there a deck that you play that he's like, don't play me with this one, or vice versa?
He's definitely one of those people that he sits down and he's just like, play whatever you want, Brandy. Just play whatever you're in the mood to play. And at any given point in time, we might each have 1 to 2 to 3 decks built. I tend to be the person who wants to build a deck and then hone it and change a couple cards and play it again and change a couple cards and play it again. So a lot of times we'll do best of three with whatever he wants to play and whatever I want to play. However, I dislike control decks. When the last set came out, he built a Thrawn Unkar deck before it was all nerfed. That was like the deck to end all decks. And I was like, I quit. I'm not playing anymore. If you play that deck, I'm done. Like, that thing away from me or I'm out. And so I don't mind playing against decks that do a ton of damage or have a ton of action cheating. But I'm just like, dude, if I have no cards to play, if I have no dice to resolve, and I have no money to spend, why am I even playing this? I may have said that more than one time. So he's a very strategic person and he does really enjoy those ultra controlling decks. I guess I get to be a better player because I play against him and he's an amazing player. I do definitely have that advantage. I just really love aggro decks. So usually you can pretty much count on me either having a red yellow deck or a yellow blue deck. I do really like yellow characters a lot. I'm really excited about Zeb coming out and Saw coming out. Saw is going to be a lot of indirect damage, but I'm really excited to build the Zeb deck too. And then of course I'm looking at 2-die Zeb, 2-die Kanan, got 4 dice, got a lot of damage going on there.
Before we dive into a long-form topic, I do have to ask, have you seen the results of Dalish regionals?
I did. I must say that I am pretty surprised that a mono blue deck won, and I'm very impressed that both of the top 2 were hero decks, because there was so long that villains reigned and playing heroes was no fun. And now I think that it's so refreshing to see all of these regionals. I mean, granted, a lot of them are R2P2, but seeing all of these regionals come out with all of these hero decks on top, I'm a big fan.
I will be diving into regionals, this specific regionals, in our next podcast. But I have to say that the biggest thing that comes out of this regionals for me is how well Zach did with Han 1, Rey 1. It is still a solid deck, but you don't see play anymore. And it goes to show the skill, diligence, and effort that Zach put into his deck to take it to a top 4 finish.
I agree. I don't think that anyone probably expected him to bring that deck. And I think the element of surprise and people not knowing how to play against a deck definitely gives you that strategic advantage. Han is a great character. Like I said, I played him for quite the long time when the initial set came out. Kudos to him for bringing something, you know, that wasn't R2-P2 or Qui-Gon Kanan. Because up here, I think we still see a lot of those, even though they've done a lot of work at other regionals. I'm just excited to see heroes doing well this time.
It is so exciting to see how fresh the meta is now with the new set coming out and the game being a lot more balanced than what it was.
I agree. And I think that as the new cards are coming out, and I know previously that I said that those characters eventually will become obsolete because they are so expensive. But on the flip side of that, there are so many new weapons and card abilities and card actions that have come out in the new sets that might make those old characters new again, might give them some refresh for people who are coming into the game and want to play those classic characters.
Moving on to a long form topic, we are going to be talking about your favorite character, Kanan. What do you like about Kanan, and why is he your favorite character?
when I first started playing Kanan, my Sabine Kanan deck was the first time that I had ever played Kanan. When I started playing him, I was like, his ability is so sneaky. I think it's really cool. Granted, you do have to have his dice out there to be able to use his ability. But when you're playing him with characters that have damage sides, it's a really great thing to be able to either use one of Kanan's focus and be able to turn your other dice and just immediately be able to resolve them. But it's also really great because Kanan is such a versatile character because, as I mentioned earlier, I love doing combo decks with range and melee. Kanan's dice naturally kind of lead you to do that because of his one side of range and his one side of melee. And I do think that even thematically, Kanan is the kind of character in Star Wars that I respect, right? He's kind of that Robin Hood of the Star Wars realm. I think that he's a good accessory to anyone. And at 13 points for two dice, he's a pretty cheap character that is really easy to incorporate into any decks. And there are a lot of options for yellow characters with him. I do really enjoy yellow characters as well, but it seems like Kanan just fits in and he fills in all of those gaps. As I said earlier, I'm really not the person to use a lot of focus, the fact that Kanan does have one focus side, but I can immediately use it. I tend to get a little anxious when you've got a lot of dice out there with focus and you want to be able to use that focus, but then you have to leave the die out there after you focused it. And one thing that I do like about Kanan is when you're using his focus, you can use his focus and then immediately be able to resolve that die. All of that anxiety about your opponent knowing exactly what you're going to do with the die that you just flipped, all of that kind of goes away. I think that seeing Kanan's ability to just work so harmoniously with other characters is just probably one of my favorite things.
Kanan is one of those cards that I mentioned earlier where I didn't really grasp until I played him. I've been playing him with Qui-Gon for the last couple of months, and he is a really good card. I like what he brings to the table, being able to be unpredictable with your focus and be quick with his ability to grab a resource before playing a card or hit a gun before melee or just hit two melee before activating a character. He brings so much versatility and utility to the board that I predict that he will be around, maybe not as played as what he was, but I see him being in the game for a while because of that.
I couldn't agree more.
Before we continue on with the card and him and Destiny, let's move back to the character. Have you been watching Rebels? Have you read A New Dawn?
I've not read any of the novels. However, our family TV time, my husband and I do have a 7-year-old, our family TV time often consists of us watching Rebels together. We started from the beginning and I think we're on to probably the 4th season right now. With me playing Sabine, I started playing Sabine like right after we started watching Rebels. Rebels is kind of a more recent thing for us. But as you know, you're playing these characters, it's like sometimes when you're just rolling these dice and reading the character abilities on them, you just think to yourself, they hit the nail on the head with this ability. They captured what that character is in such a great way, in a way that you wouldn't think that you could make a person come alive with a die. But I think that it really, really does in this case.
Is this a case of you playing the card before seeing the show, or did you see the show and was familiar with Kanan before playing him in the game?
We started watching Rebels, and then shortly thereafter is when the Spirit Rebellion came out. And like immediately I was like, dude, if I open up a Sabine, I'm playing Sabine because she's totally cool. Like she's this really cool chick who can blow stuff up, and that's what I love to do. I'm playing Sabine. I had pulled a Kanan earlier and I had just set him to the side. I did not play him. I did not see a need for him. Like I went straight for Sabine. And before I actually had Kanan in my Sabine deck, I was actually playing Sabine Akbar for the longest time. It worked out well for me, but there was just something missing. And when I decided to build my deck for regionals, that's when I really started delving into what other characters would be good. And that's when I happened upon Kanan. Once I kind of started playing playing with him a little bit, I was just like, this character's amazing. And I feel like he was kind of like the diamond in the rough that nobody at that time was playing with him. And this was before Qui-Gon Kanan became popular. And I'd never played Qui-Gon Kanan. I played Qui-Gon Rey and I played Qui-Gon with Poe 2. Both of those decks were good, I guess, but I just never really had the interest in playing the Qui-Gon Kanan. Just throwing him in with Sabine just kind of made that whole relationship. You saw like the Sabine and the Kanan and her blowing things up and him being kind of patient, like, wait, okay, now go ahead and do it. I think that kind of ebb and flow of the Sabine and Kanan was thematic and also pretty awesome. But now I'm really looking forward to putting Kanan into some decks with the new characters. I think that he'll be really great with a lot of decks.
Since you are a fan of the Kanan Sabine deck, the Rebel episodes where Kanan trained Sabine must have been really up your alley.
Yes. I think I tend to just really like the action part of the show the most, and the fact that it's just so cool to watch. I think one of my favorites is when Kanan takes Ezra into the Jedi Temple. Just seeing that kind of Kanan being the mentor and Kanan being the one to train. I think that just that whole part of being with the Force is just really cool.
And that brings us right back to the Destiny card, where the Kanan card captures that spirit of being the mentor. Yes, he can act first with damage, but he can also focus a die in your character, and he has the utilities. That is what is so great about Destiny, is that the card Kanan captures the character just by us talking about the character. When you were talking about him, I'm like, that's the card. It fits so perfectly. And it is so subtle that unless you really watch the show and break it down, that you are not going to notice it.
I agree.
Moving on to the decks that you could play Kanan in. Obviously, we have talked about Kanan Qui-Gon on the show. You have played Sabine Kanan, and you also mentioned another deck. Were there any other ideas that you were thinking about pairing him with, or decks that you would like to suggest that he best fits in?
As I said before, I'm super excited to do Kanan and Zeb. I think that's just going to be a crazy damage deck, and that's totally up my alley. I think that because I haven't opened up a lot of other cards, I'm excited to play with Saw, even if I don't put him with Kanan. I'm not sure that he would be the best matchup with Kanan, but I am excited to play Saw Gerrera. I did open up one of him. I might have to get over a little bit of my fear of mono decks and play Ayla with Kanan. We'll see, because that is only 2-die Kanan, 2-die Ayla is 25 points. So you've got 5 points left over to use for plots or whatever else. But to also see what I can build, maybe a 5-die deck out of some cards that I have here. I think that the Wookiee Warrior from the previous set is definitely a card that was underplayed that I hope to try to be able to build into a couple more decks also.
With Kanan being so cheap for that single die, you can still pair him with a bunch of other characters and still play a 3-character lineup. I don't know what that lineup would look like, especially multicolor, considering that Hero doesn't have access to a cheap red melee character. But that's where experimentation comes in, and where trying things out is how we figure it out.
I'm very excited for a lot of that experimentation. Once First Robotic season starts to wear down, I think my husband and I will definitely get back to doing a lot more of this. Right now, we're gone till about 9 o'clock in the evening every night, just really putting a damper on our Destiny.
Before we conclude this episode, we did have a conversation offline that I would like to dive into. And I do not know if your opinion has changed, but you do not care for draft. Do I have that correct?
I am not a fan of draft. I avoid draft. When the drafts that came out, our local play store, Card Table Republic, they got the 6 sets in, and our playgroup kind of got together and we decided as a whole to propose to the store owners for them to keep those 6 sets as store sets so that many more people would be able to enjoy them. So what you can do is you can go in and borrow the draft sets and buy packs from the store and then do a draft there, and then the draft set stays there. What's really great is a couple times a week, they might go in and have a draft there. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I am like a high anxiety person, and I really like to take the time and read the cards. I play with a very competitive group of people and very highly intelligent people who kind of already go in with what they're aiming to do. With the fact that I only play hero cards, I'm familiar enough with the villain cards to play against them, but I'm not familiar enough to actually play them. That is one thing that I do not enjoy. So we played a sealed tournament with, there were five or six of us that played it right after Christmas. And I ended up playing Elite Illuminara Lobot, I think is what I ended up with. Out of eight packs, I opened up two Illuminaras. I would not recommend doing elite characters during any kind of sealed play because you will get smashed like I did. But I'm just not about the draft. So what my husband and I have decided that we're going to do with our boxes once he's here to open his is I'm going to build a deck out of what I opened and he's going to build a deck out of what he opened. And we're going to keep with colors, but ignore heroes and villains and build what we can build and do best out of three with that. So I'm definitely excited to see where that goes.
I have to say that draft and limited is so popular that it is unique hearing from someone who doesn't really care for it. And we have to remember that as popular as something is, there's going to be people who don't care for it. I think that is fine. If you don't care for a format, that is fine because Destiny isn't about playing the game one way. There's multiple ways to do it. What you were describing, a sealed box game, I think the technical term for it is a fantastic approach to play the game. It's not something that I have done. It's something that I would like to, but it's not something that we have had here. I am glad that you are able to enjoy the game however you enjoy it, because like coming back to Star Wars, it doesn't matter what you play the game or how much you play or what kind of fan or how deep you are, as long as you're playing and as long as you are a fan, it doesn't matter because we are a community and we are going back to what Rose said. We're saving what we love. We are playing and enjoying what we love. And that is such a joyous thing to celebrate that I hope you have fun with your husband. And I know I would like to hear what your experiences are with that game.
We'll definitely have to keep you updated.
It is now time to wrap things up. Thank you, Brandy, for coming on and talking some Destiny with me.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
If people would like to contact you, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook. I'm kind of sort of pseudo active on the Knights of Ren Discord. And yeah, feel free to look me up. I'm also in the Michigan Star Wars Destiny page and the Star Wars Destiny page on Facebook.
That concludes this episode of I Rebel. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you all next time.
This has been I Rebel, a Star Wars Destiny podcast. I have been your host, Jedi Geek Girl. If you would like to contact me, please send me an email at irebeldestiny@gmail.com. And as always, may the Force be with you. I Rebel is an independent podcast, not associated with Lucasfilm, Disney, Fantasy Flight Games, or any other organization. All copyrights for Star Wars Destiny, and all other properties belong to the proper copyright holders.